Hey, Pastor Brian here. I want to thank you for tuning in to Rock House Baptist Church Podcast. I hope this message inspired you. I hope it encourages you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Now, for today's message.
This morning, listening to the music, I couldn't help but to think, you know, I'll be honest with you, I prayed over this sermon all week. My heart was really set on a sermon in 2 Corinthians, but something kept telling me, it's this one, it's this one. Then I get up here this morning, and I don't know the music, I'll be honest with you. When Molly asked me, do I want any input on the music, I said, as far from the east as to the west on a lot of that, okay? Because I'm not, that's not my gift, and I know that. I do make suggestions every now and then just because pastor privilege. But this morning I heard a song about Calvary. Amen. What is it about? It's all about what took place on Calvary, right? I almost wish that these were sung in reverse order, but God has a plan here. And from Calvary, the next song was Amazing Love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amen. Those songs will preach this morning. Then it come to Hosanna. And if you don't know the theory behind Hosanna, I'm going to give you a quick rundown. As Palm Sunday came in, they were laying palms down for our Lord as he was riding in on a donkey. And he knew that this was it for him. He was a week away from it, actually about 4 or 5 days away from dying. And they were singing his praises, only to be known in 4 days they was going to kill him. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, here comes our Lord, amen. And then at the end, because he did that, there was a song called Waymaker, Miracle Worker. How many have experienced a miracle work in your life? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, shake your head, or say amen, let me tell you, you're here for a reason. You're sitting where you are for a reason. Not because of anything you've done, but because God has a plan for you. Amen. Amen. I tell Gary all the time, you didn't move to the middle of nowhere from the middle of somewhere for no reason. He's here for a reason, just like we all are for a reason. Having said that, we'll slide this out of the way. My wife, I'm not going to call her a liar, but she said that iPad was somewhere in Egypt being shipped. It wasn't going to be here. I'm still naive to some things, Rod. I got to learn, man. You mean to tell me the church raised all that money, and I guess they love me enough or something, and they didn't have it? Give me a break. That's what they used to tell me on Middle Fork when Christmas was low, huh? I'm just kidding. I'm way off the sermon this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Your sermon title this morning, it's awful quiet in here. I don't know if it's just me or what, but is Alive in Christ. And I thought about how last week we had those baptisms, and Paul told us we would be a new creature, a new creation, once we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Not for Jesus Christ, but when you're baptized, you're actually baptized into Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that a little more in just a moment. So Romans chapter 6, we will flip back into chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles or your tablets, just be ready to make a move here in a minute. But I want to ask you this morning a question that kept hounding me this week. And it hounded me because I felt like I would say the words this morning to someone who did not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the question is, are you alive in Christ today? Are you alive in Christ today? What do I mean? Have you asked Jesus to be in your heart and be your Lord and Savior and to be your way maker? Not turn to the left or to the right, but have you chosen Jesus because he chose you before the foundation of the world? All you have to do is accept the free gift that he gives you this morning. Amen? Man, let me tell you a little bit, my friends, because I consider you all my friends, right? We tell everybody, Jesus loved me, so I don't have a choice. I have to love you. Not that I want to love you, but because somebody died for me, I have to love you. There's tough times in life, and there's times when you don't want to love people, but guess what? There's times when you yourself are not lovable. Amen? Thank goodness Stacy's in the nursery at the moment. No comment, okay? Thank you for that. Now that you have the gist of the sermon, we're going to dive into a little bit of background, okay? So, the book of Romans, Paul's the writer. He's actually writing to guess who? The Romans. It's not a trick, okay? There's nothing there. But chapters 1 through 3 really talks about, and you're going to read this week, the condemnation of a sinner. Why we are not really worthy of God's grace, but yet he died for us anyway. And Paul's going to hammer that home. And in chapter 3, I think it's verse 20, I'm going to butcher this real quick. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So Paul hangs on to that and he drives that home. And then about halfway through chapter 3 into chapter 5, he kind of switches gears, Paul does. And he starts talking about how even though we are sinners, we're justified through what Jesus Christ done for us. Amen. What does Paul mean by being justified? Simply this. We are brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. One that we could not earn. But we accept it as a freely gift. Now, you do that by this. You don't have to be perfect. Okay? There's no perfect church. There's no perfect person in the church. Amen? It's by the faith of Jesus Christ that you put in him, that you know from the bottom of your heart that what he did on Calvary was enough for you. I tell everybody, if you're looking up here at me preaching, please look past me. And I love how this screen drops to where I can only see, I told them on Wednesday night, the bottom of the cross. Because it was at the bottom of that cross where I found my life, where I was saved. As the blood poured off his feet and trickled on my body. And it says, my sins were washed away, cast as far as from the east is to the west. Boy, read Isaiah 53. He hammers it home. Just look at the foot of the cross. As the song says, I want to be at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. Now, I can tell you this morning that God saved you for more than just an everlasting life and relationship with him. He saved you for more than that. He didn't just save you from going to hell. Don't use that as a ticket out of hell, although it is. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. But he saved you to be made holy. The Bible says, be holy, therefore I am holy. He made you to walk in his image, to walk in his light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this, the one who says he remains in him, meaning me and Jesus, it says should walk as he has walked. So we are called to walk daily as he has walked. Do you know that's a choice? I'm a firm believer that if you have a change of heart and you come to God with a contrite, broken heart, a heart for him, and you ask him to save you, I believe he saves you right then and there. There's nothing that changes that. But you have to make a daily choice and a daily walk to serve Jesus. Amen? That's just the bottom line. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. Okay? Now, Paul kind of uses this as a segue into chapter 6. But just remember, when they wrote the Bible, there wasn't chapters and there wasn't all these breakpoints. That came a little bit later when it was first wrote. It didn't have these. But verse 20 says, the law came in so that the offense would increase. But where sin is increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, the Bible talks about it coming through Adam, through one man named Adam, so also grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How many is thankful for their salvation this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's jump into Romans chapter 6. We're going to break these down a little bit. It's a long, lengthy section of verses, so we're going to do 1 through 5 first. Verse 1 says, chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Far from it. Some Bibles say, may it never be. Some Bibles say, absolutely not. Verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Amen. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. My first point this morning is that dying with Christ brings about new life. We seen new life last week, but Paul is basically jumping straight into it here, trying to clear up any misconceptions that many new believers have. Okay? Paul is saying, look, don't use your salvation as a license to sin more. Just because you're saved, and if you believe in the, I hate the question sometimes, once saved, always saved. I think it's more deeper than that on the surface, okay? I do believe it's much more deeper than that on the surface. But don't use God's gift against Him. We're going to dive into that a little more in just a second. Now, I know that us Christians here today believe this statement and the fact that our salvation is not a license to sin more. But let me ask you this. How many of us are truly living that out in our lives? That's something I had to truly think about. Just because I'm the pastor, you know what? I still sin. Things still come in my mind that I have to push away. I'm not more perfect than anybody else, right? There's not a place that I'm going to get in heaven that Paul Sizemore ain't going to get. Amen? But I try my best with the power of God. He says, when I am weak, thou art strong. God humbles you for a certain reason, so that He can be exalted. And that's where we're going with this morning. Paul says, how shall we who have died to sin still live in it? A true believer will not condone sin. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around it like I used to be. Amen, Brother Brad? We talk about it all the time in D group. The old friends I had are now in the out circle. I still love them, still talk to them, but they're not in that inner circle because we don't run in the same lane. Right? Talking about being a runner, I use that as an example. We don't run on the same track. Still love them. I'm just trying to get them over to my lane and my track. This doesn't mean that we're perfect. I'm no better than them. I'm just saved by the grace of the Lord. Amen? And this means that I am seeking after God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness above all else. That's the bottom line. Paul uses these verses to go ahead and call out the Romans and the wicked heart that they had and some of the people that were there that he was writing to. Now, these kinds of people we're going to come in contact with. I was a person like this before. I wanted the best of both worlds. I wanted people to see me at church and say, well, he goes to church on Sunday. He's a pretty good guy. But I also wanted those Friday and Saturday nights doing things that I like to do in my sinful life. Amen? I think we've all been there before. And I'm, again, no better. We should never look to justify our sin. God hates it. We cannot justify what God hates for our wantings. And the thought of wanting to sin should be perished from our mind. It should be far from how we get up and say, Lord, I want You to be my light in my daily walk, not what I want. Amen? Paul couldn't imagine anyone who genuinely loves Christ to want to continue committing sin, the very sin that cost Jesus His life. See, your sin is just not a failure to you. Let me hammer this home. It's a disgrace to the Lord. He died so that you don't have to be a master to that you don't have to be obedient to that. Amen? And I love Paul's writing, how he uses this imagery to get his point across. He points at death and baptism together. Why is this important? Obviously, I think we know the answer to that. It's important because that's what baptism is. Baptism expresses death to the old self. That's the person going down into the grave. That's what that's about. The person going down into the grave. And when that person comes up, there's a new faith, a new obedience, a new life that you've received in Christ. It's important to know that Paul, here's some context to this, okay? Paul isn't trying to hammer home how important baptism is to them. Their services weren't like ours back in the day, okay? It was just a little bit different. But rather, Paul, when someone would come to Christ in his time, they didn't walk the aisle and they didn't come up and say, you know, I want to pray this prayer of forgiveness and Father, I know I'm a sinner, and then dive into confessing to God. No, they actually searched to find water to be baptized right on the spot. The question the commentaries like to say is, they would come running. What can keep me from being baptized into Christ? And that's how Paul got to open up the conversation of the gospel message. What can keep me from being baptized? Just like Philip said, look, there's water, him and the eunuch. So they would actually baptize them right then and there on the spot and would become united in Christ. And the fact, I couldn't help but think about this. The fact that we can, in a blink of an eye, y'all know that, in a blink of an eye, it takes 0.494 tenths of a second to blink your eye. You can be saved quicker than that. Amen? That's unbelievable. We have a spiritual miracle. You are a spiritual miracle. Whether you're here because of bad health brought you here, whether you're here because you lost a loved one, or whether you're here because someone has loved you right through them doors. Amen? It's God who does the saving. And when we become united with Christ, we are supernaturally bound. There's no running away from it. God doesn't turn his back on you. Sometimes we may turn our back and do little things on him, but he never turns his back on you. So knowing this, let's look at verse 6 and 7. It's, Paul writes, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, meaning Jesus, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is free from sin. Amen. Of course, we know Paul's not talking about death as in leaving this earth, which he does talk about that a little bit later. Our second point this morning is that being raised with Christ brings about freedom. It's as simple as this, folks. I'm just going to hammer it home with this. Before you came to Christ, sin had a chokehold on you. It had a chokehold on you. You couldn't escape it. You'd have a good day and think, oh, Lord, it never come my way, but I'm here to tell you it's on your doorstep. It had a chokehold on you. There was nothing that you could do but be a slave to it. The Bible says we cannot be a slave to two masters. You're going to love one or you're going to hate the other. But thank God for Christ's loyalty to the Father's will. Even when Christ had a moment, he said, not thy will, but yours, Father. We received a new nature because of what was done on Calvary for us. Amen. I can't help but to think how my life was before I came to Jesus. And the things that I loved to do before I came to Jesus. The goals that I had before I came to Jesus. I'm not sure there's one that's the same. I'm really not sure. Oh, gosh, I could dive into it all day long. I heard a guy say this week when I was talking to him, he said, and I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, but I felt like it was a moment of truth, and sometimes that's part of it. He said, Brian, he knew me as Brian, not as Pastor Brian. He don't go here. He don't attend. I'm not sure he attends anywhere. I'm praying for that. He said, you know, when I prayed to God to save my life and to forgive me, he said, I didn't feel any different. It's a month now later. I don't feel any different. I said, brother, have you ever thought about going back to him with a broken spirit? Not coming to him in confidence within your flesh, but coming to him with a broken spirit. Psalms 51 verse 17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise a broken heart. We can't come to God on our own terms. Amen. He said, well, I'm praying and nothing's changing. I said, go back. And you get on your knees and you cry out to God. Don't go to him thinking about you. Go to him thinking about him, what he's done for you. And I promise you, that Holy Spirit will seal you. And there'll be a difference, right, Brother Tony? We talk about it all the time on Sunday nights, don't we? Some people say, when I got saved, it's going to be all better. Boys, let me tell you, a little bit different. Following Jesus, think about what he done for you. Following Jesus wouldn't have been easy. There wasn't a one of those folks he called disciples in his inner circle that survived and died a long life. They buried them, had a ceremony. Oh, no. Oh, no. They suffered. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this. When Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Pastor J.R. Scott put it this way when he was saved and baptized in a new creature. He said, what was crucified with Christ was not part of me, not a little bit of me, not what people say was the old me, but he said it was the whole me. Amen. All of my sin, all of my transgressions, all of them gone. I don't walk how I used to walk. That should be all of us right there. I don't walk how I used to walk before Christ came into my life. Our new identification in Christ should show that we are not controlled by sin. Amen. What you used to do, I pray that that's not what we do now. Our new freedom should show our new way of life. Let's go to verses 8 through 11 really quick. Paul says this, now if we have died in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You hear that? Let me pause for a minute. We died with Christ. That means we die to ourselves. Bible says that we're going to live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead and is never again to die. Death is no longer master over him. For the death that he died, get this, he died to sin once and for all time. But the life that he lives to God. So you too, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Third and final point this morning is that you're alive in Christ. You may not feel it sometimes. I'll be honest with you, I haven't felt it in a few days. That Holy Spirit just, pow. Me jump up and run across the room. But God has a pruning phase to get you ready for when that comes. Amen? Amen. I believe, as I've studied this, Paul is basically saying this. If you've been baptized and you're a new believer, death has no more power over you. You should not fear death in the manner of, if I were to die, I'm going to go to hell. That should not be a fear of yours. Now, I've got a family. You've got a family, Brother Greg. We all have a family here. We would worry about them. Sure. What would happen? What would happen? But here's the thing. The best thing we can do is to do our best to make sure our family goes with us. Amen? That's what it's about. If you're worried about them, worry about their eternal life. Worry about their salvation. Don't worry about their fleshly desires. It's a vapor. It's going to pass away. If you truly love somebody, talk to them about their spirituality. Tell them how much God loves them. Not just you, but how much God loves them and what God did for you. Here's the thing about serving Jesus, and I love it. I love it. I love it. There's nothing that we face that he hasn't conquered. Amen? We're not going to face something and say, oh boy, I'm the only one out on this boat. God's been through it all. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18 says this. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered. Hear that? He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Amen. There's nothing you're going to face that you can't call on the Heavenly Father for. There's nothing you're going to go through. Nothing that you can't call out to Jesus for. I oftentimes wonder, am I enough? God, am I allowing myself to be used by you in the way you want me to be? I think all believers come to that conclusion sometimes. And I couldn't help but to think, take me out of it. It's not, am I enough? It's, God, are you enough? Amen? Because if you've been died and rose again to yourself, it's not about, am I enough? In my weakness, he is made strong. What Jesus did for you was enough. If you look past me again, look at the foot of the cross. That's enough. As if all you had was to do was to look at the feet of Jesus with those spikes driven through it. Is that enough for you? Would you want heaven without Jesus? It's a question you got to ask yourself. Heaven, we know, streets of gold. This is, the Bible says the mind can't even really imagine it. But my friends, Jesus is right here with you. And I don't want to go if I can't have my best friend and my brother. Amen? In Jesus Christ. So no matter the circumstance you're in, no matter the situation you have, he's right there with you. When you hit your knees and pray, just look over. He's right there with you. He's in here. There's nothing you're going to face that he can't help you with. I'm going to close with this. So if you're singing a song, come bring it home, sisters or brothers. I love y'all so much. Once we die to ourselves and we accept Jesus, we will be resurrected. That's what the Bible says. I believe there's two resurrections. There's one at the moment when you come out of that water, and there's one when God calls you home. Amen? He's coming back. We don't know. Bible says nobody knows the hour or the time, but he's coming back. I had to have a humble moment this week and think about who I am in Christ. And a little whisper came to me and said, look, I love you. You're enough because I'm enough. So if you don't think you're enough for this world, you aren't. Amen. You aren't enough for this world. But if you'll turn it over to Jesus, you'll get all that you need. I promise. You'll get more than what you need. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed, so it was counted to him as righteousness. Amen. Just believe this morning. Justification and salvation will come your way. I can promise you. I felt like I'm Paul. I was the chief of sinners. Wanted to be so far from him. But he kept pulling me in. Amen. I love the Lord this morning. I don't want to live a day without him. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love and for your mercy. God, there's not a step I want to take when I can't have you by my side. Lord, I pray over our church. I pray over our community, over our nation, over our country, Lord. You say if you will turn to you, Father, you'll heal our lands. Father, I think it starts with our hearts first. We have to turn our hearts to you, God. Be a person chasing after you. Be a person seeking after God. When we have our eyes upon the Lord, Lord, there's nothing that you can't do. You're a just God. You're a righteous God. You're a loving, you're a compassionate God. Those are just a few words that describe who you are to us. But Lord, most of all, you're a merciful God. That you'll accept us bare and naked, Father, with nothing to give to you, but you'll accept our invitation to allow you in our heart. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, that today be the day of salvation, that it be more than just quoting Scripture, Father, that it be more than information for their mind, but it be a transformation of the heart. Father, it's all about you and nothing else. Nothing else will do for me, Father. And I pray that that's the way it is for all Christians. Father, I pray that for somebody here this morning that has something on their heart that's heavy, that they're being pruned for, that they're being broken down for. Maybe it's their own doings, or Father, maybe you've got them in a situation, Lord, where they can only look up to you, Father, that they put away their strengths. Lord, Paul said, I prayed 3 times for the Lord to take it from my side. But I know that when I'm weak, that's when I'm really strong, because the Father has entered in my heart, in my mind. Lord, I pray a blessing over this church. Father, I'm so thankful for the work they do. Father, we know that the gospel is going to go on and that we just want to be part of it. We just want you to be right in the middle of our lives and for us to be chasing after you, Lord, continually. Not a moment to where we're stale. Father, let us remember what was done for us on the cross at Calvary. It's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Again, thank you for tuning in. You can also find us on Facebook.com by searching Rock House Baptist Church, or you can go to our website, rockhousebaptist.org. Thank you for listening.